Ti, spet ena okrogla miza v enakih možnostih. Pa kva te ženske skozi nekaj težijo? Kva jim je pa hudga?
Veš kva, posluši ti, kdaj sektor žena ereše, pa ti bo jasn, zakaj gre.
A ja, kdaj pa?
Drugo soboto v mesecu ob dveh.
Sektor žen!
Bodite pozdravljene in pozdravljeni po tem zimproviziranem priznamo džinglu. Namreč danes zgleda en čuden dan, dosti stvari gre na robe, med drugim to, da džingl sektorja Ž ne dela. Upajmo, da ni to kakšna zarota, kaj praviš, teorija zarote in podobno. No, v glavnem druga sobota, ja, najprej še zahvaljujem špikerjema in, oziroma špikerju in špikerici Anuški in Macotu, ki sta to tako lepo prijazno zimprovizirala za potrebe današnje oddaje. Danes se namreč druga sobota v mesecu piše in z njo v koraku sektor že. Posebne pozdrave pošiljamo na avstrijsko Koroško, kjer preko radija Agora zainteresirane in zainteresirani poslušajo besedovanje in muzikalno harmoniranje sektorja že. Danes bova feminizirala tehnik Selman in Jasmina J. Najprej naj obelodanim, po katerih poteh se bomo danes podali. V prvem delu oddaje bomo zavrteli pogovor z dvema od ustanoviteljic feminističnega kafeja. Kaj vse se pravzaprav skriva v njem, lahko izveste ob intervjuju. Posnela ga je Teja Hvala, ko je pohajkovala po Antwerpnu. Naj ob tej priložnosti še podarim, da je Teja tudi izbrala današnje glasbene melodije. V podlagi tako slišite monokrom. V drugem delu pa obrusite ušesa na ekološko frekvenco. Poslušali bomo namreč pogovor z Val Plamut, ki je pred dobrima dvema tednoma gostovala v Sloveniji na povabilo Delavsko-pankrske univerze. Plamutva, ki sicer prihaja iz Avstralije, je pionirka na področju okoljske filozofije in ekofeminizma. Z njo smo se pogovarjali o tem, kaj ekofeminizem sploh je in kako v generalnem kaže našemu planetu. Zdaj pa, preden preidemo na intervjuje, najprej malo muzikalne poslastice. Ker jo daje sektor že nekaj posebnega, se spodobi, da je tudi njena glasbena spremljava temu primerna. Zato se nam zdaj spadali pridružujo Lesbians on Ecstasy.
Thank you.
Feministični kafe Popesnor, ki sicer domuje v Antwerpnu v Belgiji, ni kavarna, temveč prostor za vsakomesečna srečevanja in pogovore, ki vprašanja o spolih navezujejo na širši kontekst, odnose moči, družbeno-ekonomsko ureditev in politično-religiozne prakse v svetu. Skupina obstaja od aprila 2004, ko je s tematskimi večeri, predavani in pogovori gostovala v različnih zasedenih prostorih v Antwerpnu. Konec leta 2005 pa je svojo dejavnost preselila v revnejši del mesta, v politično in subkulturno bolj neutralne prostore Tvrkhes. Z dvema od treh ustanoviteljic in organizatork FC Popesnor, Dini van Bajlen in Saros Jagers, se je Teja Hvala pogovarjala januarja letos, le nekaj dni po novoletnem srečanju in otvoritvi nove sezone dogodkov. Pogovor je potekal v angleškem jeziku, zaradi zastarele snemalne opreme pa se poslušalkam in poslušalcem opravičujemo za malce slabši posnetek.
So the first question I want to ask you is how did you come up with the name FC Popesnor?
It is really an existing word in Dutch. It's a wordplay. FC is short for Feminist Café, and Popesnor combines pop, which means doll, and snor, which is mustache, and we liked it that it combines something feminine, or what is supposed to be feminine, and something that is supposed to be masculine. But at the same time, Popesnor also means investigating spirit, so we liked the wordplay. Mm-hmm.
And why did you feel at all the need to start with a new group?
The idea came up when we were organizing info evenings in a squat, and there was one month that we organized around feminism, gender and queer. And then me and Sarah Schegers got into touch, and we thought it would be nice to have a monthly place. Not just one month, but in the squad, but to have an ongoing thing where people who are interested or busy with feminism can meet each other and a place for discussion and further other things.
Mm. Yeah, and we also offer information and show films that people don't see in other places. Because it's not true that there are other feminist initiatives in Antwerp. I think there's nothing that's really explicitly feminist.
It's not a place where people can meet each other.
It's all more academic otherwise.
There's a women's studies department, a really small department at the University of Antwerp, but that's not even in the city of Antwerp. So. As far as I know, there's not even a feminist group or organization in Antwerp. There are women's organizations mm-hmm. who are all working separately, more or less, or who were working separately, because now there's also a platform around the idea of starting a women's house in Antwerp. But before, it was all very separate.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know that, for example, for the lesbian and gay people, there is already such a house existing. Pink house, is this something similar, or the idea is similar, to have a place with resources for different and small groups that are feminist, or at least deal with women?
You mean the idea of the women's house?
Mm-hmm.
Right now it doesn't really have a form, the mm-hmm. idea. I mean, it was really a vague idea in the beginning. Wouldn't it be nice to have a women's house in Antwerp? But at the moment the platform is a little bit, I wouldn't say falling apart, but we really have to get together and see if we can realize something like a women's house, because the pink house is really strong, I would say, and a really nice place, I think. And it was built up by a lot of volunteers, and I don't know if the cohesion is maybe the wrong word, but I don't know, the solidarity or the connections, or I don't know, between all the women's organizations are strong enough to really build and maintain a women's house in Antwerp. Mm. So.
And could you perhaps single out some of the events or just topics you discussed so far in the FC Popesnor? And perhaps also at the same time tell who actually showed up, I mean, and were you satisfied with
the whole outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we try to find speakers every month, and it's always a different theme. And we try to to put things in a broader perspective, not to only talk about gender or women, but to make connections between different struggles. So we had nights about or evenings about transgender or gender variety, about Islamophobia, about animal rights and feminism, about ageism and feminism, about Audre Lorde and what is it?
The idea of intersectionality.
Yeah. Now, also in September was about masculinity, thinking about the future.
Yeah, and the thing is that those themes that are usually also defined as different struggles, that we really want to put them forward as one struggle, because we also see it that way.
Did you feel that as the themes changed in the discussions, that also the people who came to the evenings were changing, were different? Or does it happen to you also, as it unfortunately often happens to many initiatives like this, that you get stuck with the same group of friends basically? There is a small group that comes every month, and then according to the team it changes.
Mm.
But I think still every month there are some new faces that appear, and this is really nice.
Yeah, that's really
and not
always the typical kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's according to the theme. Some people are working in, around poverty or something, and when we do something around poverty, most people show up, although they might not be interested in feminism.
Yeah. Oh, there's a teacher who brings some of his students,
yeah,
which is nice.
Mm. Yeah, some themes, in some months there's really few people, but then the following theme it's again 40, 50 people, mm-hmm, or something, so we're not in a phase yet, or we won't ever be in a phase. I hope that we really see it declining, you know, that people don't show up anymore. But in a way, I think it stays limited. We won't ever reach like 100 or 200 people, I think. Which is okay.
But still, I think 25 or 30 people every month,
really
that's
good.
A lot.
Yeah, it's really good.
Na novoletni sprejem ali spoznavni večer v arabsko čajnico Tvrkhas je skupina FC Popesnor konec januarja letos povabila skupine, ki na prvi pogled nimajo nič skupnega. Queer kolektiv Vacuum Cinema in anarhistično knjižnico iz Genta, Riot Girl skupino iz Hasselta, feministično Copyleft skupino Constant iz Bruslja, interkulturni ženski center Ivka, žensko nogometno ekipo, aktivistično klovnaško skupino in še nekatere druge skupine iz Antwerpna. Vse pa ste zabavali gledališka skupina Aquarilla in kabarejsko-zabavljaški duet The Rona and Sigrid Show. Na vprašanje, kaj imajo naštete skupine opraviti druga z drugo, ste v nadaljevanju odgovorili Dini in Sara iz kolektiva FC Popesnor.
I would say also that for me it was very nice and encouraging to see, for instance, on the New Year's reception, that you have invited people from very different backgrounds and groups which one might say don't have a lot in common, at least not at the first sight.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance from the girls football team to the insurgent rebel clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And this I think I appreciate it, and it connects to the next question, which is do you yourself, if you could say there is like if it is possible to define what would be your political background, would you say it's queer activism or there is a theoretical even perhaps point of view which you all share, or is it actually the difference within the organizers also that makes it possible to make such a varied program?
I think we all come from different backgrounds, but like what you were saying about a New Year's reception, it's really intentional that we invite such different groups, because I've got the feeling that in Antwerpen and in Flanders, all groups and ideologies are so separated, and that it creates
divisions.
Yeah, divisions.
Separation.
Instead of
unity.
Cooperation. not unity, but just trying to see the good things, or value the good things that some groups also do.
Yeah, because you also get a situation where groups don't even know each other. When, for example, when Bush came to Brussels, there was a whole group of political groups that had written a platform text together and signed it, and we're going to do a demonstration or whatever, and we weren't even contacted. And a lot of people from the women's movement weren't even contacted, so because there are just no connections or something. So I think it's really important to start building those connections, I think, in a way, because I think we do have a lot of in common.
It exists here, I mean, even like a discussion between people who would claim themselves feminist, people who would say they speak for lesbian politics and affirmation, and then people who support like queer theory or just activism. Is it one and the same movement, or do you feel it's really, is the same as for the last question, then really separate?
I think there are overlaps sometimes. Like, for example, there's, I think about Famba, which is a lesbian feminist samba group, and they also show up at Women's Day, for example, but a lot of other lesbian groups don't. For example, there's a Women's Day, Flemish Women's Day, which is in November, and then there's a Lesbian Day, which is kind of separate, and there are a few overlaps of the organizations that, you know, show up at the one event and also the other, but not many, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just know basically the groups that were at the New Year's reception, but it was quite obvious that some come from, say, non-governmental groups, mm-hmm. Financed by the state, and so on. And then you have groups which are more or less self-financed and independent. And do those two types overlap also? Or is it another planet, basically?
I think working together between those different groups is difficult, especially from more queer and radical feminist and anarchist perspectives. It doesn't match well with governmental organizations.
No. Yeah, there's notably one women's organization that is financed by the government, and they are also very, very rigid and conservative in their views, and they have a really hard time to forge connections with anyone except for white middle-class women. So I think of course there aren't too many groups that are financed by the state, but I think there's a big division between those two types of groups.
We are still interviewing FC Popisnar from Antwerp, Feminist Café. And from what we have said so far about your activities, one may conclude that this is a very large group indeed. Am I mistaken?
In fact, there's just three of us that are doing most of the work. And it was from the beginning, and we got a think tank now, so there are people helping us in thinking out themes or whatever, but they aren't really organizing everything.
The idea for the Feminist Café, did you get it from other already existing and similar groups, or it sprang up in your by yourself, from yourselves?
In Holland, in the Netherlands, there are some feminist cafes in different cities, and that's where we got the idea also about the name. The concept was taken from there, I think, a little bit. I think in the 70s, maybe there were also some feminist cafes in Belgium, but of course we weren't around, so. And I don't know about other countries, but our idea is also a little bit that people can take the idea and do it in their own city or village or whatever. And already a group in Liège, which is a French part of Belgium, they also started a feminist cafe. And it would be great if more people would do it, because it's not that difficult. You can decide on the terms of what you want to do. Do you want to do it every month? Do you want to do it twice a year? Do you want to keep it small? Do you want to go large? You can define it yourself.
Yeah, and to get people out there started, we made up 5 steps. Here they come. Step 1, get together, make a plan. Step 2, find a place, preferably for free. Step 3, contact Mama Cash. Step 4, spread the word in any way you can. Use the internet, make flyers, make a wiki space, website, etc. And step 5, find your allies, work together with others, and in that way you keep enthusiastic and you stay connected.
By the way, Mama Cash is an organization that funds women's organizations all over the world, actually, and their website is www.mamacash.nl. So it's really worth checking them out.
You should say your website also, I think.
It's more difficult. It's www.feminisme.be/fcpoppesnor.
Thank you very much for the interview, Sara and Denny.
Thank you for the questions.
Thank you.
Crazy about yourself. Are you crazy about yourself? It's easy to see when you walk down the street that you think you're the beauty, beauty. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna rip your heart out with a spoon. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna rip your heart out with a spoon. And don't think that I love you, 'cause I never did. No, I never did. I never did. No, I never did. You like my pupils black and white, 'cause you have another intention. When you look deep into my eyes, you seek your own reflection. 'Cause you're conceited. It's so nice to eat when you have to eat. It's so nice to pee when you have to pee. It's so nice to love when you have to love when you have to. Sexy. I think I wait for you a long time. Well, I got a big love that's distractible. It won't wait for you to be mine. My love is a slingshot, not a boomerang. I ride once and not again. I do the damage, use the door. I'm okay by myself. Don't like mirror, mirror on the wall. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Not me, not me, not me. Not me, not me, not me.
Tako, po komadu Slingshot CD-ja Jane Hohenberg's Spook Engine preskakujemo iz Antwerp na v Canberra. Poslušali bomo namreč intervju z Val Plamut. Seveda nismo šli v Avstralijo, temveč smo ga posneli kar v knjižnici Mirovnega inštituta. To nam je uspelo zelo preprosto, saj je Plamut prejšnji mesec gostovala v Sloveniji. Med drugim je bilo mogoče njeno predavanje slišati tudi v Gromki, na enem izmed rednih letošnjih predavanj Delavsko-pankrske univerze. Slednja je Plamut tudi povabila v gosti. Naj, preden se zarola intervju, še povemo, da je, ker je pač Ereš sromak, zmanjkalo nekaj intervjuja. Snemalna naprava je delno zatajila, kar se je zadnje čase na žalost prepogosto dogaja in je nekaj odgovorov tako uničila. Tako da vam bomo poskušali nekatere njene odgovore posredovati po spominu. Najprej naj še povemo, kdo sploh je naša sogovornica. Torej, Val Plamut, kot je bilo že rečeno, prihaja iz Canberra v Avstraliji. Na tamkajšnji nacionalni univerzi namreč deluje kot gostujoča profesorica na Centru za okoljske študije. Plamut je namreč pionirka na področju okoljske filozofije in ekofeminizma. Eden izmed kritikov njenega klasičnega ekofeminističnega dela Feminism and the Mastery of Nature je dejal, da je zamajala filozofijo v svojih temeljih. V njenih delih se v ponovnem prepraševanju konceptov človeške identitete in odnosov med vrstami prepletata moderna in antična filozofija ter feministična teorija. V zadnji knjigi iz leta 2002, Environmental Culture, the Ecological Crisis of Reason, Plamut kritično obravnava hiperseparacijo med naravo in človekom, ki se utrjuje v dominantnih tradicijah zahodnih družb in poudarja, da razmišljanje in reševanje okoljske krize zahteva globlje spremembe v dominantni kulturi. Najprej smo jo poprašali, kakšno se zdi stanje današnjega okolja. Povedala je, da je navdušna, da je v Sloveniji, kjer je toliko gozdov in gora. Planet Zemlja je namreč vedno bolj onesnažen in izkoriščan. Gozdovi vedno bolj izumirajo, kar je zelo slabo za prihodnost celotnega planeta, ne samo za področja, kjer so gozdovi iztrebljeni. V naslednjem vprašanju pa smo se osredotočili na gibanje, ki sliši na ime ekofeminizem. Ekofeminizem je namreč glavno področje delovanja in raziskovanja Val Plamut. Vprašali smo jo tudi, kateri so glavni poudarki ekofeminizma.
Well, ecofeminism, I guess I think of myself mainly as a feminist, as well as an ecofeminist. I don't see a big difference.
Menim, da zase lahko rečem, da sem tako feministka, kakor tudi ekofeministka. Čeprav med tema dvema gibanjama ne vidim velike razlike. A vendarle, ekofeminizem je feminizem, ki se bolj osredotoča na okoljske vsebine in okoljske krize, ter razmišlja o okoljskih vsebinah z feminističnega gledišča. Menim tudi, da feministična perspektiva veliko prispeva k razumevanju okoljskih kriz, kaj so viri teh in kdo nekdo je. Tako na primer je žensko delo v glavnem nevidno. Žensko delo je predvsem skrb za otroke, gospodinstvo in tako dalje. Tradicionalno žensko delo je resnično manj vredno v primerjavi z moškim produkcijskim delom. Vendar bi se brez ženskega dela nič ne nadaljevalo. Zato je to delo zelo pomembno za ohranjevanje naših življenj. In tu je paralela z naravo. Tudi ono združuje naša življenja. Tako, ekofeminizem spada v duha reprodukcije v nasprotju s produkcijo. In razume se, da naše delo ni veliko vredno, kaj šele, da bi bilo sveto. To gre seveda vštric s tem, zakaj je narava podcenjevana za isto delo in kaj lahko naredimo glede tega.
So some ecofeminists have counted that as part of the sphere of reproduction in contrast to production. And we understand that our work is not valued or seen. It's mostly have not seen. So this is also, you know, this gives us an understanding of what, why the environment has been taken for granted in the same sort of way, I think, and what we might do about it.
Ekofeminizem kritizira zahodno kulturo in zgodovinski oziroma historični razvoj človeške odtujenosti. V kakšnem smislu?
Well, I think ecofeminism can give us a lot of insight here. The Western tradition has seen, just as they've seen have seen males and females as having a different nature and has separated them in major ways, so that they're not seen as equal.
Zahodna tradicija vidi ženske in moške kot, da imajo drugačno naravo in so zato ločeni. Ne dojema se jih kot enakopravne, enakopravne od človeškosti. Ženske naj bi bile bolj čustvene, manj razumske, bolj telesne, medtem ko so moški bolj razumski, bolj ustvarjalni, produktivni. Pri klasični produkciji gre namreč za razumsko aktivnost. Tako podobno, kot so ljudje ločeni med sabo, so ločeni tudi od ostalega, tako imenovanega nečloveškega sveta. Kot da svet živali spada v neko drugo ureditev kot neka druga vrsta, kot da smo mi v nekem drugem univerzumu. Ta ločitev med ljudmi in naravo, ta hiperseparacija je torej paralelna separacijo med ženskami in moškimi. Gre za to, da se zatiralci želijo ločiti od zatiranih, ker naj bi spadali v drugačno ureditev. Ljudje se pojmujemo kot nekaj več od živali. Zato je bila Darwinova teorija za večino šokantna in zato bi se radi dan danes v ZDA znebili teorije evolucije. Radi bi se namreč otegnili na vezavi na živali. Krščanstvo zelo močno poudarja našo ločenost od živali. Nebesa so ustvarjena zgolj za ljudi. Bog je ustvaril živali le za uporabo ljudi.
Heaven was created for humans. And God creates animals just to be used by humans. So some Christians, of course, getting to grips with this these days. There are movement in Christianity to try and revise that. But we've got
imamo zelo močno krščansko tradicijo in le to je zelo vplivalo na človeško odtujenost. Tudi vrednost človeškega življenja po krščanstvu se nahaja v drugem svetu, ne v tem, zato skrb za ta svet ni prioriteta. To je zelo destruktivno, daje nam tudi nevarno iluzijo, kot da smo zunaj narave, zato nimamo razumevanja za bitja, ki trpijo, ko se sesuva ekološki sistem. Gre za del zanikanja in del družbene napake, ki ustvarja okoljske krize. Ne vidimo se kot znotraj narave, ampak kot zunaj nje.
The non-human world, but it's given us a dangerous illusions about ourselves as outside nature and not having an understanding of ourselves as ecological beings who are subject to harm when the ecological systems fall. So I think it's part of the denial that's associated with our failure to deal with the environmental crisis, I think. Our sense of ourselves as not really being inside nature, as being outside nature.
Politični faktori so tudi zelo pomembni in morajo biti analizirani. Glavni problem je dominantnost neoliberalnega trga. Zakaj so neoliberalne politike slabe za okolje?
Well, they're very good questions. I think political factors are very important in the environmental degradation. The last 40 years of the neoliberal market, the last 30 years of the neoliberal market have been a disaster for the environment. We've had a very hard form of the market that makes no recognition of the fact that wealth is created.
To je dobro vprašanje. Politični faktori so nedvomno zelo pomembni v degradaciji okolja. Zadnjih 30-40 let neoliberalnega trga je bilo poraznih za okolje. Doživeli smo trdo realnost trga. Nobenega prepoznanja ni o svetu, okolju, planetu. Razumeti bi morali, da je blaginja nekaj, kar ustvarjata narava in človek skupaj. Neoliberalni trg pa se trudi to zavreči. Sam ustvarja neko svojo novo naravo ter se zavzema za neregulacijo. Preden pa vse propade, bi vendarle morali začeti to upoštevati. Posod, tako v ZDA kot tudi drugod, regulacija ne deluje, ker je to dobro za biznis. Potrebovali bi močan javni sektor, ki bi podprl dobro regulacijo za ureditev in spopad z ekološkimi problemi. Razne firme so vedno manj odgovorne in delajo samo za profit. To, da se regulacija ne upošteva, se dogaja že sistematično. Neoliberalne politike so nasploh nedemokratične. To pa zato, ker postavljajo ekonomijo pred demokracijo. Ekonomija je pomembnejša od preživetja. Na ta način je razmišljajo in to je popolna norost.
The economy is more important than survival. That's the way they think. I think that's absolute madness. You know, that's a crazy way to think.
Zopet smo pri pogovoru z Val Plamud. Nadalje smo jo poprašali, kako bi se lahko borili proti kapitalizmu.
Neoliberalism obscures the fact that there are multiple economies. There's not just one economy, the economy. There are many economies and there are many ways we can organize the economy so as to recognize nature and recognize that wealth is...
Neoliberalizem preprosto zaobide dejstvo, da je več ekonomij, ne samo ena. Imamo več možnosti, kako organizirati ekonomijo. Naprimer, kako priznati naravo. Priznati, da je narava ustvarila tako svet kot ljudi in da je treba vzdrževati naravo tako za naše dobro življenje, kot tudi za druge vrste. Zelo močan model lastništva, ki ga podpira neoliberalizem, v celoti izključuje naravo in je zato popolnoma napačen model. Torej, kako se lahko borimo proti kapitalizmu? Boriti se moramo za ekonomije, ki priznavajo naravo. To je glavna stvar za ohranitev narave tudi v prihodnosti. Kar moramo res narediti, je dobiti občutek za našo sposobnost izbire med različnimi vrstami ekonomij. Kje lahko iščemo konkretne rešitve?
Well, I think the solutions require a strong public sphere. This means not, of course, just government, but also strong...
Menim, da rešitev vključuje močan javni strah. Seveda pa za rešitve potrebujemo tako močno vlado, kot tudi močno skupnost. Težav ne moremo rešiti samo na nivoju individualne akcije znotraj naših življenj. Če bi na primer želeli zmanjšati porabo energije, so rešitve možne predvsem samo prek dobrih vladnih politik. Ne moremo namreč sprejemati odločitve zgolj na individualni ravni. Lahko sicer naredimo kaj v tej smeri. Ena od teh možnosti je na primer poraba mesa za prehranjevanje. Zato se namreč porabi ogromno energije. Prekomerno ribarjenje je vzrok 70% popolnoma izropanih ribolovnih področij.
Hey. And we've got ruminant animals are quite a big contribution to greenhouse problem because they produce a lot of carbon dioxide.
Vzreja živine, na primer, kar precej prispeva k problemu tople grede, saj proizvede precej ogljikovega dioksida. S tem, ko jeste meso, prispevate k problemu CO2, k problemu tople grede. Poleg tega seveda, da povzročate trpljenje živali. Menim, da bi večina lahko precej zmanjšala porabo mesa in s tem izboljšala tako svoje zdravje, kot tudi zdravje planeta. To je ena od stvari, ki jih lahko spremenite v svojem življenju. Vendar se vseh problemov ne da rešiti zgolj na ravni posameznika. Naprimer, odločite se, da se boste raje vozili s kolesom kot z avtom. Če pa se ne morete voziti s kolesom, bi šli na avtobus. Mogoče pa tam ni avtobusa. Seveda je to, ali bo nekje vozil avtobus ali ne, odločitev skupnosti. Ker gre za skupne infrastrukture, je potrebno odločitve sprejemati tudi na ravni vlade in skupnosti.
Do you think it's too late to make a difference? Or is it possible to abandon anthropocentrism?
Menite, da je prepozno za spremembe, ali se vendarle še mogoče izogniti antropocentrizmu? Nikakor ni prepozno za spremembe in vsak posameznik mora čim prej začeti pri sebi. Ljudi je treba opogumiti, čeprav je v končni fazi odvisno zgolj od njih samih. Če se je mogoče izogniti antropocentrizmu? Seveda. In ena od poti k temu je razumetje, da si planet delimo tudi z drugimi vrstami in da imajo enako pravico do planeta, kakor mi. Zemlja ni samo za nas, ampak je dobrina tudi drugim vrstam, zato moramo z njimi deliti tako mesto, kot tudi podeželje.
This has to be reflected at the level of how we distribute land and how we manage our land. It's not just for us, it's also for the benefit of the people.
Vprašali pa smo tudi, kaj meni o feminizmu danes v svetu in opoziciji današnje ženske. Povedala je, da je zadovoljna, da se ženske vedno bolj uvrščajo na položaje, da pa še premalo. In da je feminizem še vedno potreben na mnogih področjih, predvsem v spostavljanju enakopravnosti na ravneh plač, dela v gospodinstvu in podobno. Priznala pa je tudi, da je tudi sama velikokrat imela težave z izražanjem in uveljavljanjem svojih idej samo zato, ker je ženska. Nemalokrat so ji namreč metali polena pod noge. Čisto za konec pa smo jo še pobarali, če bi rada kaj sporočila malemu Bushu.
Well, I think I'd like to say to President Bush that he's destroying the world. He's ruining the world. And the sooner he goes, the better.
Ja, mislim, da bi rada sporočila predsedniku Bushu, da uničuje svet, da ga ruši in da prej, kot se bo stranil, boljše bo. Tako, to je bil intervju z Val Plamut, mi pa se bližamo koncu in samo še sporočamo, da je v zbranih delih kot prva ženska avtorica izšla Zofka Kveder. Lahko bi rekli bolje pozno kot nikoli, ampak vragano, koliko bojo porabili za naslednjo. Čisto za konec pa gre zahvala Teji Hvala, ki je prispevala belgijski intervju ter današnjo glasbo in Kati Grabnar, ki je pomagala pri prevodu avstralsko-angliškega intervjuja. Tehnik Selman in jaz Jasmina J. vas lepo pozdravljava do naslednje oddaje, ki bo na sporedu 13. maja ob 14. Takrat bomo ponovno ženskarili v sektorju Ž. Pozdravi tudi na avstrijsko Koroško in čestitke ob tabelski zmagi nad Jurgom. Do naslednjega slišanja torej.